want to talk to you today about heritage, inheritance, and legacy. And we've been talking over the last little while about crossing over and coming into this new land. And so I'm going to talk from the middle of Joshua. We're going to do kind of a Bible study from Joshua 9 through a few chapters. And I wanted to let you know that I come from an incredibly amazing godly heritage. My family have been missionaries and pastors for 12 to 14 generations. I did not want to enter the ministry. I married a construction guy on purpose. Not pastor was really high on the list. And he became a pastor, you know. And so did I in the midst of it all. But my family has planted churches and planted Bible schools and been missionaries all over the world. And so I have an amazing heritage to draw from. And I get questions from people all the time is how do you open the flow in your life to those things? How do you open up so that those things come to pass? And as good as my family is, there's negative. My family's Mennonite. So there are many that have been martyred for the faith, and especially for adult baptism. They were the first Anabaptists, the first ones to baptize as adults. And there's many that have been killed and died violent deaths in my family. There's also been incest and adultery in my family, as good as it is. And those are not things that I wanted coming into my family once Bruno and I got married. And so, as in our early years, I was able to take a course called Family Systems. I was working on my master's in divinity. And what happened was I learned about my family history. And I learned about all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I learned how to access some of my inheritance. Because some people in my family have died for the faith, that means I have an inheritance to baptize people. I have an inheritance to see souls come into the kingdom. I have all kinds of inheritance. And there's all kinds of inheritance written in the Bible. And now that you are Christians, if you're a Christian here today, you have an inheritance. It's there for you to take. It's your birthright by being born anew into the kingdom of God. And if you're not a Christian here today, and you're thinking, wow, this is really weird language, being born into the kingdom of God, I'm going to explain a little bit about that, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to become a Christian as well, because you need to be part of this amazing family, and I want you to have this inheritance of heaven. So what is your inheritance? What is your inheritance? Just think about it for a minute. Is there inheritance in your family that's been locked up and you haven't been able to access it? Is there inheritance in the Bible, something that you've read and you go, oh, I want to see that in my lifetime. I want that to be part of my... Is there something that you're passionate about? Because those are things that God wants to unlock in you. So when we look at this crossing over theme and we get into it, what happened is there's battles that took place. It didn't just come easily that the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan and the land was now theirs. How many of you have actually read the book of Joshua, front to back? Okay, so you know some of those gory battles that they're talking about. Like it says in this one verse that they hung the horses from the hamstrings. Like there's some pretty gory battles in there. And I was reading through this recently again, and I went, God, my father of love, and then these gory battles. It didn't make sense to me. But when I read it, I think, you know what? God wasn't going to let anything stand in the line of the children of Israel's destiny, of them inheriting the land. He didn't want any of these other groups of people that were living there to stand in their way. And you know, he's got that kind of idea for you. He wants you to win these battles. He is fighting for you. He is fighting with you. He is giving you the strategies so that these battles aren't just yours. They're his. And he wants you to have this inheritance. If all through the book of Joshua we hear the inheritance of Israel was the land, was the land, was the land. And then, you know, the inheritance of Israel was not just supposed to be this little piece of land that we see on the map today. It was supposed to go all the way to the Euphrates River, which is now part of Iraq. It was supposed to be a huge chunk of land. But the children of Israel got tired of fighting. And so they started infighting and saying there's not enough. Anyway, I really believe that this is a year that we are to fight. And like the children of Israel in the beginning, we are to live in the land that we have gained ground. Last year, when the Canadian forces were fighting in Afghanistan, they said the biggest problem that we had was that we would fight in pockets, and then we would move on to new battles, and we wouldn't leave anybody in those pockets, and the Taliban would go back into those areas and retake them. And they said this was the biggest problem, strategy-wise. And I think this is one of the biggest problems in our lives, is we go and we're fighting and we're taking new ground, and then we go on to the next fight, and we don't actually live in that place and make it ours. It needs to become yours. I think God could have given the children of Israel the whole land in a day, but he's decided to have them fight each battle and then live in that city and it become theirs. And there are strongholds that each one of you have fought in the past and you've overcome. And then you go, why am I back to the same place again? I thought I gained that healing and now I have to go for it again. And it's because some of the land has been lost. For some reason, we haven't learned how to live in those places so that our inheritance is gained. So, Father, I just ask right now that you would show us those places that we have gained ground and then lost it. Because, Father, we want to win the battle, and we want to win the war in the end. And, Father, we don't want to slip back into old ways of doing things. We want your strategies from heaven. So Joshua 11, verse 7 to 9 says, this is from the Message. I enjoy the Message. Joshua, his entire army with him, took them by surprise, falling on them at the waters of Merom. God gave them to Israel, who struck and chased them all the way to Greater Sidon, and to the valley of Mizpah in the east. No survivors. Joshua followed God's instructions. He hung the hamstrings of their horses. He burned their chariots. God is willing to go the extra mile. He gave Joshua this destiny word. This is what you're supposed to do. If you read earlier in the chapter, he says, this is what you're going to do. And Joshua followed through to the letter of the law. I know some of the biggest problems in my life is God's given me a strategy to do something, and I only go part way with it. It just sounds a little out there to go all the way. And so right now, just repent. If God's actually given you a word in the past and you've gone part way with it, because God's asking for total obedience. If we want to win strongholds, which I know you do in your own life, and one of my dreams, being part of this pastoral team, is to one day lay the city of Toronto and the GTA at the feet of Jesus. That's one of my dreams. That's a stronghold. And I want to see that one overcome. But there's ones personally I want to see overcome too. So I just invite you just to think about that and just to repent right now. God, I'm sorry I only went part way with that. Now I want you to declare with me, God doesn't want anything to stand in the way of my destiny. Okay? Okay, so let's say it. God doesn't want anything to stand in the way of my destiny. Do you believe it? Really? Really? Because if you can believe that he doesn't want anything to stand in the way of your destiny, just like he didn't want anything for the children of Israel, it'll be amazing. Because God will take you to those places. It may not look like the way you've planned. I don't think Joshua would have planned it this way. But you will get there. Now, inheritance is what God has planned for you. I think of inheritance as this way of somebody in the past making a way, a pathway for the future. And that's kind of the visual that I have for it. I was talking when my children were really young. I was talking with my girls about inheritance and that. And so one of my daughters, I can't even remember which one, came to me and said, "Well, Mommy, if Nana and Papa, which are my parents, die, what will be our inheritance?" And I said, and they were really little at the time. I thought, what am I going to say? "Oh," I said, "if Nana or Papa die, you're probably going to inherit one of Nana's rings. My dad loves to buy my mom jewelry." And they went, "Oh, I get it." And that's what God wants to do. He wants to make something for you. He has something planned that's a good gift, that's going to bring you joy, and it's going to bring joy to your memory. And he has all kinds of good things planned. You know, in the Bible, there are so many inheritances. So many of spiritual ones. You know, one of the ones I really want to see in my lifetime is walking and your shadow falls on someone and they get healed. From Acts 18. I really want to see that one. I want to be part of that one. There's different inheritances there. But there's also physical inheritances that some of you have been locked up for you. And God wants to release the flow. He wants you to flow in these things. He wants you to be just like the days of old. He doesn't think it's different for me than from you. It's all about us flowing together. It's the body of Christ. Now, heritage is often something that is something, they're all the same words, they kind of all mean the same thing. But heritage tends to be when we remember those things of old. My heritage, although I'm of Ukrainian descent, my heritage is Mennonite, because that's really how my family grew up, because they were kicked out of lots of different nations and just moved around a lot. So my heritage is that. And so we have an oral history, and we have a written down history that we go through with our children about what happened. Like, one of my histories is my grandfather on my mother's side, when he was a boy, the Russian Revolution came into the Ukraine. And they took and lined up all the men, and they said, "Show me your hands." And the men who had hard hands were let to live, but the men who had soft hands were killed on the spot because they were thinkers and not workers. And so that's part of my heritage, is that, you know, my grandfather watched his father be killed because of this. And so there's oral histories that we pass down, and that's part of why the Bible is. This is our heritage. We get to see what has happened. So what I want to challenge you with in the word heritage is actually to write down some of the battles that have been won in your life. Now, if you look at chapter 12, there's a huge list of all of these different battles that were won. And you can go through that later. But in your own life, it's really a good idea to keep a journal. Not just to talk to God, which is a good thing, but actually to say, you know what, he did this before, and he will do it again. The book of Psalms is full of this. "Oh God, I thank you that you allowed us to do this. And we just ask that you would do it again in our lives." And you can actually take the book of Psalms and bring it up to date in your own life and say, "You know, God, I thank you that you are going to be doing this, that you're going to open this in my life, that you're going to open that," and that you can just speak these out. You see, in the past, if you look at the generation, you had the generation that was in the desert wandering, which was really just one generation, it was 40 years. And then you had 400 years before that of slavery. So you had 400 years of slavery, one generation in the desert, and then you've got this incredible generation that's an overcoming generation that just plows through the land. So that means that although these things were written down, that there was slavery and that there were promises before, this generation that was in the desert actually took hold of the promises of what was to come and said, "We're going to be the generation. We're going to make a difference. You know, it wasn't fulfilled in our parents, but it's going to be fulfilled in us, and we're going to make a difference for the future." And that's part of our choice, is not just living in the past. You know, that generation could have said, "Oh, 400 years of slavery, I guess I'm going to have to be a slave the rest of my life. Oh, I'm going to live in the generation, in the mindset of my previous generation." But they didn't. They changed. And so you can change too. Your past doesn't have to declare what your future is going to be. It doesn't. God is a God of change, and he is fighting with you. And legacy is often the accomplishments for the next generations. You know, what happened was, part like I was getting to with heritage, is Israel took hold of this and said, things are going to change. Now let's declare this today. Things are going to change. They changed in the life of Israel here. You need to go back and read this book. They changed. They dramatically changed. And things are going to change in your life. Although the battles may be gory, although it might get really messy for a time, you're going to live in the land that God promised you. And it is going to go well. These are the things. This is part of crossing over. This is the part that we're entering into now. In Joshua 13, there was a whole, again, it was talking about strongholds. Strongholds, strongholds, strongholds. And I really think, just like in the book of Psalms, that praise is a great way to start a battle. I think saying, God, you healed this past year in my life. I thank you for it. And God, I know that although I'm going through a problem right now, you're going to overcome it in me. And I really think that that's one of the keys to releasing some of those promises from your past into your present and future, is by starting with praise and saying, you did it for me. You did it here in the Bible. I know you're going to come through again. I know, I know, I know. So, have you actually dreamt about your own inheritance? Now, I have handed out papers to a number of people around the building. If they could start handing them out to everybody. But have you actually dreamt about your inheritance? About what is yet to come? About the promises? About the things yet to be released? And I know this is a hard one for people, especially when there's, you know, they've had dreams that have not come to pass. But God wants to open all of this up. And he wants to release his dreams over your life. You see, the children of Israel in this story, they only took part of what God had promised to them. They didn't go all the way. And so what we want to do is we want to open ourselves up and dream what he has dreamt. Because often our dreams are so much smaller than God's dreams over our lives. I know that God has dreamt huge things over each one of you. But sometimes it's hard to receive it. Sometimes we don't really want to learn about what he's saying because it's just scary. So there are some keys to receiving a godly inheritance. You actually have to know what your inheritance is. So read the word. Find out what your inheritance is. Ask your family, what's my inheritance? What's my inheritance? Through Bruno's line, my children have incredible inheritance of giving. His family is probably the biggest givers of anyone I know. They are so generous with their time and money. It's incredible. And so that's one of their inheritances. But God has an inheritance for you. And even if you don't know your family, even if you don't, God has an incredible inheritance that you can read in the Bible because you are a Christian. So if you feel like your inheritance has been stopped or stolen, or it's been misplaced, your legacy, I want to bring you through a few keys right now. And that's why I have these papers. The first one is through generational curses and blessings. And this is actually from the Kilstra's ministry. And in our family line, like I was saying at the beginning, there are things that are great, and then there are things that are, ooh, yuck. And so what I want to do is take a couple minutes to identify a few that I don't know if I want that coming down through my line to my children. And we're going to break those off. Because we, that's not a flow we want. Okay? And if you look in the Deuteronomy 28, because Joshua learned from Moses, if you look at Deuteronomy 28, you'll see all about curses and blessings and how curses stop the flow of God in your life and how blessings release the flow of God in your life. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about something in your family that you don't want passed on. It can be something physical, like a heart problem. It can be an emotional issue, like anger. It can be, you know, that things that people try to escape in different parts of their lives. It can be a lot of different kinds of things. It can be, you know, sexual issues. It can be, you know, drugs or alcoholism, any of these different things. But just think one, because what I'm going to do with this part of it is teach you how to do this the rest of your life. Bruno and I do self-deliverance and healing to each other and to ourselves very regularly. And this is just a learned thing that you can do on your own. So we're going to choose to get rid of generational sins in our family. So I listed a few there: heart trouble, cancer, alcoholism, anger. So what we're going to do is we're going to say this out loud together. I'll read it through so you can all agree with me after. I confess the sin of my ancestors, my parents' sin, and my own sin of, and then you're going to name it. I choose to forgive and release them from the curses and the consequences in my life. And I want you to say specifically who you're forgiving. I forgive my mother, I forgive my father, I forgive my aunt, I forgive, and name them. I forgive. On the basis of, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for the sin, for yielding to it, and the resulting curses. I receive your forgiveness. On the basis of your forgiveness, I choose to forgive myself for involvement in this sin. And this is my biggest part. This is the part I kind of on, because I have a really hard time forgiving myself. But you know, if God forgives you, are you greater than God? No. So you can forgive yourself for messing up. I renounce the sin of and the curses of, and you name it again. I break this power from my life and the lives of my descendants through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. I receive God's freedom from this sin and resulting curses. I receive, and this is where we're going to stop, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to receive. Now, it doesn't have to be something opposite. It can be. It can be something just turned around. For example, one of the crosses my family carried very heavily was justice for children, and we would advocate for children. That's not a bad thing. But it would become a burden to us and that we needed to advocate for children. And so I asked God about it. Okay, so because it kind of puts you always in a place of defense, and it can become very legalistic. So I asked God about it, and so I went through this process, and he said, well, no, Naomi, I receive freedom from the sin and the resulting curses. I receive declaration of children as God sees them. Okay? It's much along the same lines of thinking. It's just, it's not that I have to carry it. I'm declaring who God already says that they are. So it doesn't have to be something opposite. Okay? Are you up for this? Good. Okay, so we're going to say this together. I confess the sin of my ancestors, my parents, and my own sin of... I choose to forgive and release them from the sin, the curses, and the consequences in my life. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for the sin, for yielding to it, and the resulting curses. I receive your forgiveness. On the basis of your forgiveness, I choose to forgive myself for involvement in this sin. I renounce the sin and curses of. I break its power from my life and from the lives of my descendants through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. I receive God's freedom from this sin and the resulting curses, I receive. See, when God takes something out, he always wants to put something back in. I receive faithfulness. I receive hope. I receive openness. I receive walking into the light. There's a lot of different things that God's saying right now. Now, something I want you to practice at home after this is not only this, but then receiving the blessings from your generation. Read through Deuteronomy 28 and start to receive the blessings that are in your generation, the blessings that are in just being a Christian and this Christian heritage that has spread through so many generations. And then I just want you to do one more thing for our ministry time. If you turn over the page, something called a Shiloh survey, and this is from Joshua 18 and 19. In Joshua 17:12, it says, the Canaanites were forced into labor and not driven out. And then it says in that the people of Joshua said, there's not enough hill country for us. And the Canaanites who live up on the plain, they have iron chariots. So they were actually scared about fighting with them. But you see, there's not enough land because they didn't drive them out. And often we think that we're going to enslave the things around us, that they'll become slaves to us, much like the children of Israel thought the Canaanites would become slaves to them. But in the end, they started marrying with them. They started worshiping their gods. They started doing all those things. That's not what God wanted. So what Joshua did then is he was a really wise man. In 18, verse 3, it says, Joshua addressed the people of Israel and said, how long are you going to sit around on your hands, putting off taking possession of the land that God, the God of your ancestors, has given you? So Joshua told them to go out and to map the land. So what I want you to do is I want you to take a moment now, and I want you to write down what your inheritance are. What the borders are of your inheritance. Whether it's a physical inheritance that needs to come to you, whether it's a spiritual inheritance, I want you actually to be specific with God. And not just wishy-washy. Be specific. I have a dream big journal at home. This is different than my other journals. This is one where I write down those promises that are huge, that look like, oh, they could never take place, but God is the God that he could do those. If he's given me those dreams, who's not to say they won't take place? So write down what some of them are. Be specific. And then in Joshua 18:10, it says that they cast lots to see how the land was going to be divided. Now that they had this specifically mapped out, they decided who was going to live where. And they did this, it says something very key, in the presence of God. And so I want to take a moment, and I want you to take this in hand, and I want you to pray with me. We're going to just do corporate intercession for a minute for God to break through. For these places of inheritance to come through. Are you with me? Okay. So, Father, we lift up to you. We lift up to you these things, Father. We ask for those inheritances to be unblocked right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you would just come through in miraculous ways. Father, we tell cancer, We tell all of those things that have been in our family lives, heart problems, all of those different diseases, Father, we tell them to go right now in the name of Jesus, to come off our family line, that they have no place in our life or the lives of our descendants. Father, we've mapped out the land for health for the generations to come. And Father, we come before you also for our families. Father, we thank you that you've given us family. And Father, we come before you for all of our loved ones who don't yet know you. And Father, we just put this before you. And we say, you are the God, and this is our inheritance, that our whole household would be saved. Father, we pray for our children and for our brothers and for our sisters and for our parents to come into an amazing relationship with you. Father, that would outgo ours. Father, we just ask for more in their lives. And Father, in the issue of finances too, Father, that you would release inheritances, that you would release jobs and better jobs. Father, that you would release these things of homes, Father, and keys to cars and just keys, Father. We just ask for that. And we just cast these things into the presence of God right now. We throw them back to you. And we say, the battle is yours. The battle is yours. The battle is yours. And then if you look in Joshua 19, it says that Joshua was given a city as an inheritance. A whole city. That's my dream. The city as an inheritance to throw at the feet of Jesus. A whole city he was given. But the thing is, most of us don't know how to receive an inheritance. Joshua actually received it. And it says he lived there. He cleared the land, and he lived there. And so, Father, right now, I just ask in our own lives if there's any areas that need cleaning out so that we can live in those places promised, so that we can live and be fruitful and multiply in those places. We just ask that you would do that work right now, right now. And I'm just going to read this over you as we go out today. I have assigned to you these nations that remain as an inheritance to your tribes, and in addition to the nations already cut down from the Jordan to the Great Sea of the West, God, your God, will drive them out of your path until there's nothing left, and you will overtake the land just as God has promised you. You will overtake the land just as God has promised you.